Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Is it just me, or has TV gotten really complicated? I'm either endlessly searching for my favorite shows or subscribing to a dozen different streaming services to make sure I can watch everything I love. And I'm not even saving that much money compared to my old cable bill. Thankfully, Philo has changed all that for me. One service, all the stuff I need. Philo's got current seasons of the shows I can't miss live on networks like Paramount, A&E, MTV, Discovery, and TLC. Classics like The Office, Martin, and Friends that I never get sick of, and all of the incredible originals on AMC Plus, from Mad Men to Orphan Black. Don't forget their library of more than 75,000 movies and shows, all of which I can save and re-watch anytime for a whole year. Never miss a minute of shows like Gypsy Rose, Life After Lockup on Lifetime, Yellowstone, or Fatal Attraction. Best of all, with Philo, you get all this for just $28 a month. No contracts, no hassles. Just one subscription and a world of entertainment. So go to philo.tv and check it out for a free 7-day trial. That's philo.tv to start watching. It's better
over here. Now at T-Mobile, get 4 5G phones on us and 4 lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Hey, how are you? Welcome in. It's WEEI Afternoons live here on a Patriots Monday down at Gillette Stadium. I'm Christian Arkin. That's Andy Hart. How are we doing today, Andy?
I am better than the game I watched yesterday.
I mean, hard to be worse than that. That was a tough one.
That sucked.
Patriots go down in flames in Miami. Never really in it. Dude. Made it sort of competitive at the end.
No, they didn't. Get the hell out of here.
There were a couple of moments. You know, that last drive, you're watching it. Well, if they score here, it's a one-score game.
And if my aunt had ball, she'd be my uncle.
There was 6 minutes left. I'm just saying, mathematically, it wasn't out of the question. They didn't do anything prior to the fourth quarter.
They didn't do anything except the gifts that the Dolphins gave them. A scoop and score and whatever the hell that rollout throwback. We got our one recruiting video. That's all I'm happy for. Yeah. Take that and put the rest of the
and
game
the two-point conversion, that little flip. Is that what you're talking about? That was, I like that.
So can I tell you the highlight of the game, stupid, out-of-touch thought I had on that?
Sure.
I was like, wow, that's a really nice play. Yeah, it's weird they're wasting it in a game that doesn't matter. And then I'm thinking,
were they going to save it for the playoffs?
When are they ever going to have a game that matters?
Save it for the Super Bowl?
But that was my weird thought process about that. They were somehow, oh, you're putting that on tape way too early.
Whoa, like, whoa, guys.
What are we doing?
Don't show them everything all at once. It's only week 12.
It is about time they had a, I don't know if I want to call it a trick play, but a creative play that just kind of worked perfectly.
I'll tell you what, it was the play of the day. The Patriots not really able to do much else as I could tell this game was over in three drives. The first three Patriots drives pretty much told me all I needed to know. And if you need a refresher here, you get a three and out with the penalty on Vidarian Lowe. That was the first one.
A penalty with this team? No.
It got worse from there. The next drive was a 12-play drive, three penalties. I feel like Drake May was 2nd and 15 that entire drive.
He was.
He was really 2nd and 15 the entire half. It was ridiculous. Then they run it on 3rd and 16. Sly misses the field goal. Next series, Stevenson gets jumped 6 yards in the backfield. Booty can't connect on 2nd down. Then he gets sacked on 3rd down, 3 and out. They're down 14-0. Game over. I mean, that was basically it right there. And, yeah, they came alive somewhat in the 4th quarter. But, really, this was a boat race. And the Miami Dolphins just completely outclassed the Patriots, like they've been doing in Miami for years. This isn't a new thing. But this is not a serious team, and this is not a serious season. That's what I found myself thinking watching the seconds tick down here. This is just not, I mean, you know, you're not in these games. Even the ones that you're in, you're not really, there's no expectation that anything's good's going to happen. And when you go in against a team like the Dolphins, who you've struggled with historically, Tua never loses to you. They always find a way.
Did you hear he kicked Robert out of his office? He's like, I own this team now.
Basically,
Kraft.
Yeah, I mean, Tua owns the Patriots.
That's
he is
so
the owner
sad.
Of the New England Patriots, 7-0. And really, whenever they go down there, it's just a bloodbath. The last time they won a game in Miami was the Antonio Brown game. Mm-hmm. That was the last win they had there, and prior to that, they were like 7-1. And since then, they're 0-7.
They sold their soul to AB.
0-5. Yeah, I mean, really, it's been awful. And
do you
hear
circus music ever?
Like, do I hear it playing?
No, like when you're watching it, because that's all I
can. Yes. Yeah, kind of.
When
or like Benny Hill.
Yes, that's what Fitzy said. Mm-hmm. Fitzy said he hears Benny Hill, which is appropriate because everything he notes is dated, and that's a dated reference.
It's true.
I just hear traditional, generic circus music, and the one that got me, it wasn't the trick play from Bourne throwing it into a lineman who was blocking the trick play. Looked like they hadn't ever practiced that, by the way.
Right.
Somehow never got the – but to me, the epitome of it, and there's probably other options, but the booty play down the right sideline where he pushed off.
Yes.
And then he fell down as the ball sails over us. I was like, even when you cheat, you can't get the ball.
No.
It's
that almost made it worse.
It did make it worse.
It made like the play look worse. You're just like, oh, so none of that was going to happen.
And meanwhile, the Dolphins are running that one play where they had the fake handoff and then Tua just goes behind his back like this, the no look. If the Patriots ran that play, how do you think that would have ended up?
In the other end zone.
Yes.
Yes.
Like the guy coming to get it would have tripped and then a lineman would have scooped it or something.
Stevenson would have fumbled somehow. Like, yeah,
it's
no way.
It's so, like, that was a telling game where they couldn't compete. And that's where I know we're going to get into the locker room and Mayo and everything. I feel like maybe the reason that they were a little less than sad in the postgame locker room is because maybe they went through their sad feelings in, like, the second quarter when the game actually ended. And so they had, like, an hour and a half to get over it. Because that's how I was. That game ended. What was it, 24 points in the second quarter?
Yep.
Like, the game was over. The body was dead. It was
eerily similar to the, to the last game.
It was so over. And this team is just a mess. I don't feel any – I felt like a while there we were kind of trending slightly upward.
Slightly,
did you feel that a little bit?
Yeah, you won
like
a couple
that
of
Bears
games.
Game. We had 9 sacks, and you got May making plays.
Yeah.
Our quarterback should have gone number 1 overall. Dan Orlovsky said so. And then yesterday happened.
You win 2 out of 3. You have an acceptable loss last week, which I still believe that about that Rams game. That was an acceptable loss. I look at that type of loss, and I think, you know, they hung around. They probably could have won that game, and if they were a little bit better, maybe they would have. But they didn't quit, and they played to the end, and what are you going to do? That was an unacceptable one yesterday. I mean, that was just the, what are you even doing out here? Outclassed from the start. And that clip we played at the beginning of the show that you just heard right there of Jerod Mayo is a clip that's launched 1,000 takes, basically, is everyone has something to say about what Mayo said there, about once his players cross the white line, there's nothing he can do for them. There's nothing anybody can do for them. Andy Hart, you fancy yourself a football coach?
Yes.
Kind of. What do you make of that?
Flag-ish. I think, first of all, the aggregators are the ones that started the real sort of poop storm on social media from that quote. And then I noticed a lot of the beat writers felt the need to retweet some of those and put the question and try to bring some clarity to what he was talking about. I kind of agree with him. Once I put Vedarian Lowe out there, there is no way to prevent him from jumping off sides, false starting, holding, right? But that's where I have an issue with Mayo. The accountability for Mayo comes with putting people on the field.
Yep.
That's how you hold people accountable. And if you don't hold them accountable, then there is no, by extension, accountability. If Vedarian Lowe can have a penalty, as you enumerated there, just on every drive, is there any... It's like the parent who threatens to ground their kid, and at some point the kid's like, they've never actually grounded me.
Right,
so that kind of loses its weight.
One more time, and you're in trouble, Mr.
Right, those kids end up being punks. Why? Because there's no accountability.
They never
there's
get
no
punished.
Authority.
Right.
But in terms of the actual...
He did bench Jacobs.
Yes,
right? Devontae Jacobs got benched, but Arian Lowe was just left to go out there and hold on every single play.
And maybe it'll change this week. He did tease that this morning on the Greg Hill show that there will be some changes in the lineup coming this coming week.
He also said on the Greg Hill show, I have no one to sub in.
Well,
so we'll get to that one,
too. It reminded me of Ron Renicke.
Yeah.
Who did you want me to start? I don't have any starting pitchers during the lockout season.
Yeah.
I mean, the COVID season.
That was a tough interview this morning.
It was. And I actually gave Jerod Mayo credit for the end, kind of pulling it out in an upbeat way. Like, no, criticize me. This is part of the job.
Yep.
And I'm going to be better for this if he sticks around.
Right.
Or in the future in a different location.
Yeah, right.
So I give him
better in Cleveland.
I do give him a little bit of credit for understanding the business. Like, we have jobs to do. And if the coach is a joke or the coach's performance is a joke, we have to call him out.
Mm-hmm.
It's not personal. I don't hate Jerod Mayo. I don't love him or hate him. Like, he is a part of what we have to cover and talk about. And yesterday, his team was an embarrassment. And it started with the penalties. And you could tell that in the post-game interviews because immediately Mike Reese asked a very pointed question. At what point do the penalties reflect on the coaching? Right? And it's, I almost had to listen to it twice. It was almost like a Stephon Gilmore. You're like, did Mike Reese just call out Gerard Mayo to his face?
Yeah.
And then I listened again. I'm like, yep, Mike Reese called out Gerard Mayo to his face. But I do tend to agree with Gerard Mayo. Once I put them out, like, how do I stop him? Do I have a, like, you know, those correction collars used on dogs? Do I buzz him if he's going to fall? Like, you got Austin Hooper, who lines up, looks to his right. The ball is, like, where his ass is.
I've never seen a guy line up in the neutral zone on offense before. In an NFL game? I don't think I've ever seen that.
Especially when he can see.
Yeah.
It'd be one thing if there
he
was,
looked
like,
around. He's like, yep, got it.
Some weird formation and he couldn't see and there was, like, somebody in front of him. But it was – you know what I actually thought of? And this wouldn't have made sense. So last week to prepare for Tyreek Hill, Gerard Mayo said the way they did it is they would have guys line up 2 yards offsides because that replicates the speed with which he gets downfield.
Austin Hooper was replicating.
I don't think Austin Hooper was playing Tyreek Hill, so there's no excuse there for him. But that continues. Hunter Henry, Kendrick Bourne, Austin Hooper have had some of the worst penalties all year, right? And then you mix in a Vidarian Lowe and all these other guys that are error repeaters. I don't know how that doesn't point towards coaching. That's on you to parent those people, to pull them. I'm sorry. I know you probably think Lowe is better. He isn't. He's putting Drake May in 3rd and 16 every effing drive. You're not good enough to overcome those long plays. So I looked it up yesterday. Post-game show, one of my first tasks was go to the practice squad. Who are the tackles? There's two of them, including your guy, Caleb Jones.
Yes.
6'9", 370.
The mountain.
Put him out there. Could it be worse?
It could not.
I bet you it could, but we'll see.
I don't think so. I mean, unless he has a penalty on every single play, I'm not sure that he can penalty-wise.
But what if he
maybe
can't block?
Maybe in terms of protection and all that. Yeah, I don't know.
But, like,
there's another guy, Jalen McKenzie, who I don't know much
about.
Put
him out there.
Out there too.
I don't care. These guys suck. Those guys can't suck anymore.
I'm starting to feel that way about some other position groups too, by the way. Like, I'm looking at the practice squad and thinking these guys can't be worse than some of the people who are out there playing in certain areas.
Or even just backups.
As well, yeah, backups,
Marcus Jones,
whatever, sure.
I thought he was terrible.
Marcus Jones got disemboweled by Jalen Waddle in that game. And I like Marcus Jones, but I'm starting to wonder if maybe they got him on the wrong side of the field. Like, I mean, in general, this guy's a very good returner. And I don't know if he's going to be good on offense, but I know lately he has been – they pick on him on defense. They single him out, whoever 25's on, and they throw to that guy, and there's really nothing he can do about
it. And they would probably pick on – Alec Austin or
probably,
whoever's next in line, just like they'll probably dominate.
But those guys
Caleb
don't
Jones.
Have another thing that they can do, and Jones does, so at least use him for something else.
But the difference for me is Marcus Jones is getting beat physically.
Yep.
Okay, that happens. We know this team isn't very talented. I've never thought he was a top three corner. I think he's forced as the best you have out there. That's unfortunate. It's like one of those middle relievers that has to eat the innings. Well, you have to eat the Jalen Waddle catches today. Sorry, bud. But Vidarian Lowe isn't getting to the point where we find out if he's good enough to compete.
Right.
It's the easy stuff. It's the stuff you teach 8-year-olds, U10 Pop Warner. Oh, come on, guys. We got another snap count.
Right.
You know, whatever the quarterback says, that's a snap. The fact that you can't do that as a professional, and I don't really buy the argument of, well, he's so worried about getting beat physically that he tries to. No. You have to play the game the way it's called.
Mm-hmm.
Like, in any sport, there's rules, and you have to adhere to them, and they can't. So that – to me, that was most frustrating because that's not – I'd rather mountain of a man who isn't as good be in front of Drake May than the guy who keeps penalizing Drake May and making him go 3rd and 15.
And also letting guys just run right around.
Well, yeah.
And get to
him. Michael Jordan. I swear Michael
Hunter
Jordan
Henry
is like,
too.
Wait, are they allowed to cross? That doesn't seem fair.
Wait a minute.
One went that way and one went that. That's not fair. He should have to tell me that he's doing that.
They were in max protect a couple times.
Terrible.
And then Chop Robinson just runs right around Hunter Henry like he's not even there. And they're in max protect at two extra. Stevenson and Henry were both staying back and blocking. And they ran right around. It was unbelievable.
There was that one bad one where Hunter Henry made a little bit of an effort, I guess. And I think it was Chop Robinson just kind of moved him to the side and then ran by low. I think it was on the left side. Then there was the other ones. So Chop Robinson pushed Jacobs back into May one time.
Yep.
And then the next time ran by him so fast, I don't think he literally touched him. I don't think he got a fingernail on him. So it was a mismatch in terms of talent. We knew that.
Mm-hmm.
It was a mismatch in terms of coaching. I think we kind of expected that.
I certainly expected that, yes.
And you also saw that there's a big difference with that team with Tua running the show.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, it's night and day. He's maybe one of the, like, he's not going to get a lot of MVP votes this year, but in terms of value to his team, he might be the most valuable player to his team in the whole league.
Especially when Skylar Thompson comes in for like one play.
They had to put him back
in. They turn it over on a freaking handoff.
That was unbelievable. I mean, one snap, it's like, whoops, okay, get back in there, Tua. Sorry. Just try not to get a concussion, okay? 617-779-7937. Just one more thing on this quote, because it's getting so much attention and people are so mad about it, and you're right. The aggregators are really going buck wild with this thing about once they're inside the lines, then, you know, there's nothing I can do for them. I've heard coaches say that before. Okay. I've heard coaches say that in different sports. Like in basketball, I've heard coaches say, once you're out there in the court, there's only so much I can do. I can call timeout. I can, you know, call out a play.
Right.
But you have to go out there and execute it. And I think on some level, that's pretty boilerplate coach speak.
Yes.
It's not some, oh my God, I can't believe he said that type of thing. It just doesn't look great. It doesn't look great in a series of questions. And this is important too, the context of this. The series of questions, he kept saying, it starts with me, it starts with me, it starts with me.
Absolutely.
Over and over and over again, to the point where, I don't know which reporter it was, but that reporter says, well, okay, at what point do you start blaming the players? And he says, well, you know, once they're out on the field, there's nothing I can do about it. I just got to get them ready. And you're saying I didn't do a good enough job. And he's right. Early in the game, they didn't look like they should be on the field with the Dolphins. And it really didn't start to improve until late in the fourth, or really late in the second half, I should say, in the fourth quarter. And that's, I think, the biggest damning thing here, more so than those words, which, yes, out of context and sort of on paper, don't look great. But really, I didn't think I heard it, and I was like, ooh, that wasn't very good. But it didn't stick with me this long. And people are like, oh, you got to fire him for this. If there's reason to fire him, there's reason to fire him. It's not because of that.
Right.
It's not because he said that.
There's plenty of reasons to fire him. That wouldn't be in the top 100 for me.
No, not
because, really. If you listen to the whole press conference, you're right. He said it starts with me ad nauseum.
Yeah.
A little Belichickian in its repetitiveness. And then B is, it's a cliche and it's true. And I've heard coaches say it in both directions.
Right.
Once I put them out there, they succeed or fail kind of on their own. I prepare them to go out in the, like, it's like your kid when you hand them the keys to the car. At some point, if the kid hits a telephone pole, is that on you? No?
Nope.
You took him to driving school. You've told him not to drive with friends. You've tried to show him how to do it. You took him to the parking lot down the street. At some point, they're out there and they're controlling that vehicle. And I think that that's – I actually think that's really unfair criticism. And I think it's low blow from the aggregators. They know what they're doing, too.
Oh, they certainly do.
They are dirty.
Dove Kleiman, who's not even Dove Kleiman anymore. She sold his account to some guy. So now some person who, I don't even know if the original Dove Kleiman was a real guy, but now it's like 2 degrees away from that. Other people just, I can't believe he said this. Oh, this is so terrible. And it's just, you know, no one enjoyed that game. Okay.
No.
We all watched the same thing. It was bad, but you got to admit, I mean, what's he going to do? Go out there, make a tackle himself? Like, come on. Well, honestly, no one on the team's doing
it. He's not that old.
He might as well. He might as well
and
try.
The tackling is so poor. Your boy, Kyle Duggar. I'm just going to
My boy. Excuse me? When did that happen?
I don't know. When they stink, they go to host one.
Jonnu Smith. Oh, man. He put him in the blender. This is just the beginning. We'll get into more of this. And we'll be speaking with Jonathan Jones at 3 o'clock. We'll get his take on the struggles in the secondary that the Patriots had. And when we come back, Drake May, the quarterback, will join us here on WEEI Afternoons. We have lots of questions for him here. We'll have the quarterback question of the week. That's all coming up next. Drake May joins us after Stiz gets you caught.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated. Where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Up on what's trending. Head coach Jerod Mayo this morning with the Greg Hill Show, who were sitting right in this room. That was Chris Curtis asking the question. And Jerod Mayo basically admitting, yeah, you know, it's fair to say that if I had different players to sub in, then maybe we'd be having a different conversation today. Maybe I'd be looking at this whole season differently. Maybe, you know, Elliot, it would have been nice if you gave me a roster that wasn't bottom of the barrel on offense. And even lately on defense, it hasn't been great either. These last couple games, since the Chicago win, getting outscored 67-23, I think I read, like really, really bad. And it just seems like we're at the point in the season now. There was a little bump after Mayo called the team soft. He called them out. There was a reaction. It seemed like it was going in a positive direction. And now it seems like the wheels are just falling off here on the season, which is unfortunate because we asked this question a couple weeks ago. You really did, Andy. Where do you go from here? Right? You have all this stuff kind of blow up and come to a head, and then you still got 8 games to play, and how do you reckon with that? And it doesn't seem like they're doing a very good job of it so far.
They are not, and I understand why Jerod Mayo is the guy taking the brunt of the criticism. He's the front man.
Yep.
He's the guy out there during the week. He talks to our station. He's out there post-game. I think Elliot Wolf is absolutely skating, and I'm glad you brought him up, because to me, Elliot Wolf is the one who put the bulk of this misery in motion. He started in April when we knew the offensive line sucked.
Yep.
He started gaslighting us and telling us it didn't. And then Jerod Mayo joined him, and he told us, oh, all the criticisms in training camp are overblown. They weren't. Half the guys you have here,
they weren't bad enough.
Right.
Honestly, it's worse than it seemed like it was going to be.
Because they already replaced half of those guys because they either went AWOL or they stunk. So they grabbed this guy from this practice squad, pulled guys off the waiver wire, and they still – it was worse than I expected, but it was predictably bad. And that's on Elliot Wolf. And I think that's where – if you could only replace one of those two guys, to me, he's done a worse job, I guess, would be the way I'd boil it down, than Jerod Mayo, and I'd have more hope. And I admit I was wrong, because I thought Elliot Wolf had a good resume. I thought there was a good opportunity for him to prove himself, to step out of the Belichick spotlight and say, I'm Elliot Wolf. I'm Ron Wolf's kid. I was in Cleveland and Green Bay. I have all this experience. And last offseason, March and April, were disastrous for this team. Other than the obvious,
yep,
which everybody would have picked, except maybe you. I keep leaving that out. You might have had Marvin Harrison in this mess.
Maybe.
But everybody would have taken Drake May. Everything else is a disaster. Free agent signings, free agent re-signings, everything. So that's a conversation we have to have.
All right. Joining us right now on the hotline is quarterback of the Patriots, Drake May. He's brought to you by Northeast Men's Health, the experts in treating men's sexual health, with 5 New England offices or at northeastmenshealth.com, and by Cardi's Furniture and Mattresses. Get next day delivery with removal and disposal at Cardi's Furniture and Mattress. Drake May, how are we doing today?
What's going on? I'm doing all right. Hanging in there.
Good. Glad to hear that. Let's go ahead and start with what was a tough loss yesterday. After the game, you talked about the cadence in the O-line and some of the penalties that were happening there. You answered another question about a miscommunication that maybe you had with Pop Douglas. Would you say right now that you're on the same page as the rest of the offense, the O-line, the wide receivers? Would you say you guys are on the same page today?
Yeah, I think, you know, yesterday was just some little focus things. And I think the big thing is the guys are getting in the right spots. I think we're moving the ball. I think it's when we hurt ourselves, it's tough. You know, like I said in my interview, you know, we get behind the 8-ball and you're in 1st and 20 and 2nd and 15. It's tough to pick up first downs in this league, and especially when you're hurting ourselves. So I don't think it's really anything that we're not on the same page. I just think it's, you know, a little focus or maybe mistakes or little things that just starting to drive off that we need to, you know, harp on and focus on. I think, you know, it's only will end up being positive for us.
Obviously, those 1st and 20s or 3rd and 15s are physically challenging. You have to literally get more yards. Are they mentally challenging? Is there like a blow to your confidence early in games when you feel like you're kind of spinning your wheels and fighting this uphill battle?
I wouldn't say mentally challenging. I just think, you know that, you know, it's more frustrating knowing that we're hurting ourselves and they're not really doing anything to stop us. We're just more putting ourselves in bad spots and ends up costing us and points and moving the football and helping our defense out and keep us in the game.
Drake, what did you say to the team at halftime, and what did Coach say?
Coach has said, pretty much the same thing I'm talking about. We're hurting ourselves on offense, on defense. I think two of us throwing the football well, and they're just they're hitting over the intermediate passes over the middle of what Coach was talking about. And on offense, we had a chance to get three, and we hurt ourselves down there getting into the red zone. And then other than that, just like I said, just getting in first and being successful on first down is what kind of AVP preached and Mayo, and just said, hey, fight, keep fighting, and never know what can happen. So we had ourselves almost back in the ball game. So that was kind of good to see from the guys of and not quit.
This is going to sound like a harsh question, but I'm kind of just basing it on the numbers and the facts. Do you have a turnover problem? Are you turning the ball over too often?
As myself, kind of looking back and looking at the plays, I think so. I definitely think so, that from the standpoint of turning the football over, you can't do that in this league. And right now, I would say it's a problem. I think most of my turnovers aren't really being careless, throwing the ball careless in the difficult spots. I think the tipped interception, I think that's a tough one. The fumble, obviously, you put the ball in harm's way of protecting the football, but I wouldn't say it's a problem.
Are you learning from them at the very least? Is there value in each of these tough lessons, hard lessons?
Yeah, I think I hope so. You try to learn from things when you lose, and obviously not doing what you want to be get done.
We're talking with Drake May, quarterback of the Patriots. Drake, there were reports after the game that guys in the locker room were kind of loose, guys cracking jokes and things like that. Did you observe that, and do you think that your teammates hate losing as much as you do?
I can only speak for myself. I know it's frustrating when you're losing. I think it's kind of overblown. I think those guys are frustrated too. So I think you need to find a way to hopefully get a win and play hard these last five games.
Offensively, what do you think the identity of this team should be, and why are you maybe not achieving that? What is holding that back?
It's the same thing I'm talking about. Hurting ourselves, getting behind the sticks. I think when we don't hurt ourselves, we find a way to move the ball and put some points on the board. So that's the main gist of it.
As far as the offensive line is concerned, you were obviously running around a little bit more maybe than you wanted to. We've asked you, I feel like, a couple of times now about the offense and getting you some design runs or just the ideas of, in the red zone, you getting around and using your feet a little bit more. Is that something that you've given any more thought to? Is that something that you and Alex have discussed any further?
No, sir. No, I'm just out there trying to the plays that are called, just trying to help the team and do the best and get us in and out of plays that help. And I think ABC is doing a nice job of putting us in good spots. I think, as a football team and players out there, we, penalties and little things that turnovers from myself are hurting the football team.
Jerod Mayo has said that he knew this wasn't going to be easy and that there's a multi-year rebuild or whatever is going on here. And I'm just wondering from your perspective, I know you don't make these decisions, but would you like to get as many reps as possible with guys like Jalen Polk and Javon Baker and Jaheim Bell and the young guys that you came in with to maybe build a rapport that could pay off down the line?
I think that's kind of what practice is for. I think in game reps, I think the best players play. I think that's what this league is about. So I think, talking about the young guys, I think they're, doing the right things in practice and earning the right to play, then the best players to play. So I think that's really not my decision, and I'm just happy with whoever out there wants to play hard and be in the right spot.
How was your week of practice last week? How would you characterize it?
I thought we've had some good weeks of practice. And I think the guys have been practicing hard, and that's what you want to see. So I think that's what we just can keep doing, keep going and don't lose, and don't lose sight of getting better and still finding some meaningful football of trying to get better, and you never know what can happen.
In terms of your leadership, we've talked a lot about that evolution and the kind of addressing the whole offense a couple weeks ago. How does that work with the defensive side of the ball? Do you apologize to those guys after turnovers? Do you interact with those guys much on the sideline or on the practice field? Are you interacting with the defense as well as the offense as a leader?
Yeah, I think you got to, as a quarterback. So just trying to hold myself accountable for mistakes where I'm giving them in short fields. And then other from that standpoint, just pumping them up. I think that's the best thing you can do with defensive guys. They like to see a little fire from the quarterback. So getting excited when good plays happen for them and just be there for them.
All right, it's time for the quarterback question of the week, brought to you by Northeast Men's Health, the experts in treating men's sexual health, with five New England offices or at northeastmenshealth.com. The question this week comes to us from Eric from Newton, and he wants to know, Drake, who is the toughest guy on the team?
Toughest guy on the team? Let me think about that. Toughest
Can't say yourself.
I think Jelani Tafai has shown it. I think he's really down through some injuries and going out there each and every week and playing his butt off. So I'd probably say Jelani, and offensively, I would say probably up front, probably Big Mike. I think Big Mike, battling different spots and playing different spots and not complaining, just going out there and playing ball. So probably those two.
Last night, you obviously brought up the comment about hating to lose more than you liking to win. Obviously, everybody loses in high school, college, or along the way. How does losing affect you? How do you deal with it? Are you a sore loser? Are you tough to be around? What's that like?
I think just learn from it. You know, I think just learn from the mistakes, and I think nobody likes losing. So just find a way to kind of learn from it and kind of look yourself in the mirror, look myself in the mirror, and see what I need to do better and how can I help this football team.
All right, it's Drake May. Thank you so much for the time today. We appreciate it, and good luck this weekend against the Colts.
Thanks, guys.
All right, Drake May, quarterback of the Patriots, joining us here on WEEI Afternoons. If you missed any of that, you can check it out on the Odyssey app. Just search for WEEI Afternoons. You can go back and go through all the chapters of the show. Important stuff there. Some interesting stuff as well. We'll get to that. We'll dive into what Drake May had to say. We will also be talking with Jonathan Jones, who had some comments to the Boston Herald after the game that we'd love to jump into as well. That's coming up at 3 o'clock, and we'll get to all of that right after this. All right, that was Drake May, the man of the hour. If you missed his interview with us, you can, again, go find it on the Odyssey app. Just give it a download, search WEEI Afternoons, and boom, right there. That was Drake May after the game. Couple of things. Number one, he's like, well, it got tipped. Yeah, it got tipped because you got blitzed and ran right into it. And then instead of either eating the sack or throwing the ball into the tuba, he tried to lift it up over Ramsey. And then that guy admittedly made a great play. I mean, that was a tremendous play by that D lineman to pick that ball off. But he was very sort of, it happens. It got tipped. Like, what are you going to do? And I don't know. I mean, it didn't seem like the fact that it was tipped was the biggest problem with the play. Does that make sense? Like, right. It was a bad decision. It was, him trying to be to play hero ball as usual in a situation that didn't necessarily call for it, which is another part of this, too. These game-ending picks are always on, like, first or second down. Have you noticed that? Like, it's not like it's fourth and forever, and he's just chucking it up as a Hail Mary. Like, they're early on in these drives, generally. And I don't know. I mean, he's a rookie. I get it. But, like, there's been a lot of talk about him being not a mistake repeater. And I'm starting to wonder if that's just wishful thinking, because I keep seeing mistakes. I mean, you asked him about it. He admitted it as much in the interview with us just now.
Yeah, I don't yet think he's a mistake or an error repeater, because I do think there's sort of different layers or specific circumstances to each of these. For me, I hated the fumble. I absolutely despised the fumble. To me, it's in his vision. He sees it. Put the effing ball away.
Yeah.
Like, I thought, and he referenced something last night about, like, trying to swim move with the ball, or, like, I think he knows that was a stupid play. And, but regardless of all the circumstances, the reality is, over the course of the years, I'm going to use Aaron Rodgers as the measuring stick.
Okay.
Because Aaron Rodgers was a creative quarterback. Can we admit that? He ran, he threw, kept plays alive, throws across his body. And he would go forever without turnovers. He would never turn it over in the red zone. So don't tell me there's nothing you can do about that. Whatever he did was able to control those.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying you're the next Aaron Rodgers or you need to get there, but even Josh Allen, a year ago, was like leading the NFL in interceptions and turnovers, and it was part of the whole debate about him. Is he good? Is he bad? Does he giveth? He taketh.
In his rookie year, he was turning the ball over all the time. Yeah.
This year, he isn't.
Right.
And they're better, by the way, and they're more successful offensively, and a lot of people are giving Joe Brady some credit for it and different things. But there is, you can play aggressive, athletic, modern playmaking football and not just accept the turnovers as the cost of doing business. And I'm not saying that he should be held to year 7 Allen or year 12 Rodgers. No, the standard is different. But you can't just dismiss them and laugh them off. Oh, it's football. Sometimes it's not a round ball. Sometimes it bounces funny. It goes to the other. No, no, no. I don't want to hear any of that. As Bill Belichick used to beat into people,
I don't know if he actually beat it into him, verbally beat it into him. When you have the football, the entire organization is in your hands.
Yep.
If you give it away too much, you lose. People lose jobs. Tickets are, you know, they need less concessionaires. It's overly dramatic, but it's true. The value of a $7 billion team is that oblong sphere or whatever the hell they call it in your hands.
Mm-hmm.
It's that valuable. And at some point, I'm not ready to jump onto the too many turnovers. He has a turnover problem. I thought it was interesting to ask him if he thinks.
Well, we have that question. You want to play it?
Yes.
Let's replay that question. Andy asked him if he has a turnover problem. Here's what he said.
Do you have a turnover problem? Are you turning the ball over too often?
As myself, you know, kind of looking back and looking at, you know, the plays, I think so. I definitely think so that, you know, from the standpoint of, you know, turning the football over, you can't do that in this league. And right now, I would say it's a problem. I think, you know, most of my turnovers aren't, you know, really, you know, being careless, you know, throwing the ball careless in the, you know, difficult spots. I think, you know, the tipped interception, I think, you know, that's a tough one. The fumble, obviously, you put the ball in harm's way of, you know, protecting the football, but I wouldn't say it's a problem.
Did he change course mid-answer there? Did he say, for me, yeah, and then I wouldn't say it's a problem? I believe he did.
It's hard to tell sometimes if he's saying yes or no. Like, you know what I mean? He's like, yeah, is or isn't a problem.
I thought the long pause was
I thought he was saying yes at first, but then at the end he said, no, it's not a problem.
Yeah, I don't think he knows how to answer it, which is fine. He's a young quarterback mm-hmm. working his way through it. I'm not sure anybody knows how to answer it. I don't know if Gerard Mayo would have a yes or no answer. I'm not sure I have a yes or no answer. I just my job is to ask the question, not give him the answer.
He's right? given the ball away 11 times in seven starts technically, but really six that
six
he's played.
And change.
Six and change.
He's bordering
11
on
giveaways
per.
Is, yeah, that's a two per
if
game.
If you turn the ball over 34 times in a season as a starting quarterback, that's not good.
No, that's very bad. I mean, listen, it's not good at all. He has done good things this year. It's not like that's the only thing that's defined this season. And we all have agreed collectively, I think, to give him a bit of a break when it comes to these turnovers, him being a rookie and all, and there also not being a lot of playmakers on this team. I think that he's given leash for that. But you can't ignore it. You can't just say, well, you know, eventually he's going to stop doing it. I don't know that. He had a problem. He had problems like this in college, too. He turned the ball over in college. This isn't some new thing in the NFL. It's worth keeping an eye on. And
moving forward.
Yeah, right.
And I don't even mean moving forward this year. I think moving forward into next season and the future, like, you have to cut down on the turnovers. Right now, it's sort of, I think, accepted. It's kind of like binge drinking, right? Like, if you're in college and you're drinking a lot, you're in college.
Right.
A lot of people are. If you get out of college and 2 years later you're still doing it all the time,
you're hosting an afternoon drive talk show and still doing it.
You probably have a problem. It's no, you know, it's no longer accepted, and mm-hmm. that's where rookie mistakes.
That is not a preview of this weekend either, in case anyone was wondering.
You hosting Thanksgiving?
I am.
Yeah.
You maybe
cooking?
Maybe one day.
You cooking?
I am not.
So you're not hosting?
Yes, I am. They're coming to my house.
But no, I. This is something that bears watching because it's the easiest criticism. If you were on another team. And that question that we've talked about, is he getting too much praise, too mm-hmm. much hype, too much positive spin? Wouldn't you immediately latch onto that? The guy never wins, and he turns the ball over 11 times in six games, and you're telling me he's something special? He's the next big thing? Not with those turnovers, he's not. You're never going to win foot. That's not winning foot, blah, blah, blah. That would be the easiest thing to latch on if you were a Jets fan and wanted to rip what's going on here.
Yeah, it certainly would be. 617-779-7937. Jonathan Jones, defensive back. On the Patriots, the secondary had a very rough day yesterday down in South Florida. We'll get his take on that and more right after this.